Hey, welcome back on this Thursday night to the Nevada Tiger Talk program. Thanks for finding us on a different night this week. Of course, the Nevada Lady Tigers playing on a Wednesday, forced us to move back one day. But now ready to talk Nevada Tiger basketball with head coach Sean Gray. What a week they've had playing in the Frontenac tournament, of course, last week, winning that championship. And now back in the gym a little bit before they get ready to get things back underway in a non-conference game tomorrow night at Carthage at Monette coming up next Tuesday as they get back into conference play. So we're going to obviously talk about each game in the Frontenac tournament. But what a week you had, or 3 days you had, I should say, and winning your second consecutive Kansas Army National Guard Invitational. Congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. It was a fun tournament for us, and proud of the guys. We felt like they approached each game with the right mindset, with the right attitude, and each game itself brought just a different dynamic to it. And our guys showed up ready to play with the right mindset all three days.
We're going to kind of go quickly through the first two games because we certainly want to spend some time on the game against Webb City on Saturday. That was one heck of a game, and we want to spend some time on that. Let's start you off last Thursday. You opened up against the Panthers of Wichita Independent. They were a one-win team coming in. They did get a win on Saturday against Riverton. But 60-27, the final. Nevada wins it handily. Your thoughts on that one in the old gym at Frontenac?
Old gym, a team that only coming into the game had one win. It had all the makings for an opportunity for a team to come in a little bit flat, a little bit lackadaisical, and to not approach the game the right way. That is not at all what our guys did. Proud of the fact that our guys showed up and played hard start to finish. Didn't let who the opponent was or the record of the opponent maybe or the atmosphere in the gym affect them at all. I think we did a great job. Their leading scorer held him, I don't remember. But
9 points.
To 9 points.
Jimmy Glenn.
Yep. Did not allow the big kid that had been out that had come in to do anything. Played together as a team. Once we got the game in hand, went ahead and just took care of business. So just proud of the fact that we approached it the right way, took care of business, and didn't allow some of the external factors to slow us down any.
Dalton Gaiman led the way with 24 points in that contest. Logan McNeely had 16. We'll talk certainly about the tournament accolades once we finish up talking about the Webb City game, because Nevada certainly garnered some honors in that. Pacific game on Friday. This was a team that you saw the year earlier in championship. I'm sorry, in the opening rounds as well. In fact, it was the first round you saw Pacific a year ago, 66-48. They've had some good tournaments at Frontenac. Again, they come out of the St. Louis area under a veteran head coach in John Van Leer and you never know, because of the schedule they play, what you're going to get. But again, 66-48, they kind of hung in it for a little while, but eventually your talent level took over.
Whenever you play Pacific, you can guarantee that they'll be well prepared, that they will play hard, that they'll be well schooled defensively. And then on the offensive end, they run a lot of unique sets to get open looks. Then Coach Van Leer is just a big proponent of the 3-point shot. And the night before in the first round, I don't know the exact number, but they made a ton of threes in the first round game. And so it presented some challenges. We knew we would be guarded hard. We knew we'd have to get out to the 3-point line. And again, our guys approached it with the right mentality. They didn't assume that because we were able to better them a year ago that we could just step onto the floor and take care of business. We played together. And really the boys, I thought, played well from start to finish.
Again, a good scoring game for Dalton Gaiman with 25, but this time Logan Applegate stepped up there along with him with 21 in the contest. He really sought to get to the bucket in that game on Friday.
He did, and they had a lot of attention on Dalton early. Logan took advantage of that by attacking the basket. We were able to get some pick-and-roll situations where Applegate was able to hit a couple of mid-range shots as well. So it's always nice when those two guys are both going on the same night, and that was the case on Friday.
And Logan McNeely, of course, bringing the three ball out, three of them in the second quarter, another one in the third, 13 points. And when he's hitting those trays in rapid-fire succession, it just makes you hard to stop.
It is, and it was a close game in the first quarter, and then I thought Logan getting hot really is what helped us to extend that. And we've got five guys that can shoot the ball from the perimeter pretty well, and four guys that can have a night like that where they make four or five plus. And anytime you have two guys with big scoring nights, and then another guy or two who's hitting shots from the perimeter, you're pretty hard to guard on the offensive end of the floor.
And as I mentioned, Dalton came in with 25 in the game, but it came a little bit differently than the previous night. Only had 7 at halftime. You mentioned, of course, and post-game of that one and pre-game the next day that you had to make a couple of tweaks, I guess, or adjustments to where he was able to get the basketball, and that certainly happened as he picked up 12 of his 25 in the third quarter.
You never know with teams exactly what their strategy will be going in. Some teams choose to try to zone us because they don't feel like they can match up man-to-man. Other teams will play us man-to-man at four positions and then use a fifth defender to be somewhat of a zone defender. Some teams will put their biggest guy on Dalton to try to wear him out. Other guys will put a smaller, quicker defender on him. What we've been pleased with our guys and our group is that as the games go along, they do a good job of recognizing how a team is guarding us, making adjustments, and then attacking that as the game goes along. And then in the second and third quarter, we saw that against Pacific.
Certainly a nice win for Nevada on the road against a Pacific team. Again, as we mentioned, out of the St. Louis area. They've been coming to the tournament for several years. They've kind of got an affinity for Frontenac, and it's always good to see them. And, you know, as you said, they're going to be well-coached, a good basketball team. But Nevada gets the victory and moves on to the championship game on Saturday. That's certainly a game we want to highlight. Nevada winning at 64-52 against a much-improved Webb City team over what we might have seen early in the season, even from the Joplin tournament, where they kind of let Joplin JV hang around with them a little bit. But, you know, if you're a fan of Loyola Marymount-style basketball, this is the team you want to watch. And they jumped out to that 7-2 lead, but your team, your Tigers, seemed to kind of gather themselves after that initial hit and then actually come back and win a leading 17-13 at the end of the first quarter. And so, obviously, they made the adjustments on the court they needed to make.
Yeah, just the ball bounced their way a couple times early. We stressed more than anything in this game transition defense and valuing the ball because, like you said, they'll take quick shots early and often, and the faster the game, the better for them. And we really wanted to slow it down. The first minute and a half of the game was a little bit too fast-paced, and a turnover led to a bucket, not getting back in transition one time off of a missed three-pointer on our end led to a quick bucket. And just, again, you can prepare for how fast a team wants to play, and you can talk about it, and you can look at it on film. But sometimes, until you're in the fire, you don't realize exactly how hot it is. And I think after that first minute and a half, 2 minutes, our guys did a great job of making Webb City play our style of basketball.
Again, Dalton Gaiman led the way with 29 points. Logan Applegate, 13. Lane McNeely had 11. But Dalton obviously is making himself a big game performer, and that was a big game, especially from the free throw line where he's getting quite often.
Yeah, he understands that if he is physical, if he attacks the basket, if he makes strong post moves, that he will draw double teams, which will open up his teammates, or he will draw fouls, and he's done a great job of doing that. I mean, the energy with which Dalton played on Saturday was right up there with some of the most energetic games that he's had to this point, and that goes for both ends of the floor. When you think about how hard he gets guarded and the energy he has to expend on the offensive end, and then turn that around and watch him sprint the floor defensively, watch him be involved in a lot of pick and roll action defensively, rebound, contest shots, draw charges. And to do that, the way that he did it from start to finish was really, really something that he should be proud of, and something that when that does happen, this group is very, very good on both ends of the floor. And maybe more than anything, I think that might be the biggest key for this group is for him to have the stamina to be able to play at that intensity level at both ends and to run the floor like that. I mean, we become very good at both ends, and then that was sure the case Saturday, and we're really, really proud of his effort.
Lane McNeely this time with 11. It's either Logan or Lane that's going to get into double figures. This time it was Lane with 11, and again was able to pick up some twos, but had a three in the third, and Lane stepped up this time to get into double figures.
I've said this before, Mike. Lane is as good a cutter and a mover without the basketball as anyone that we've got. And with the attention that Dalton draws, with the attention that Logan Applegate draws, your defender will get caught watching, get caught helping, and Lane moves quickly. He gets into the lane, and his teammates know he's coming and they find him and he's got a good touch in that little 4 to 6 foot range and is able to finish those. He also jumps well enough. He's able to finish around the basket. So him doing that was really, really big for us. And you're right, Mike. This group is so unselfish. It might be Logan on a given night. It might be Lane. There might be a night where Dalton or Applegate don't have a huge scoring night. They don't care who that guy is on a given night. Whoever is kind of the open man seems to be the guy that steps up and does that. And it was Lane for us, and he was big for us in that game for sure.
After falling down early, you certainly got the three-point shot going. Noah Chaney comes up with a big three. Applegate, they're back-to-back threes. How big was that sequence right there as you kind of got Webb City back on their heels?
When Noah knocks down whenever it's a good shot, when it's an open shot in the rhythm of our offense, and he's able to knock those down early, it really affects our opponent, and because in their mind it's like, well, shoot, every guy on the team can knock down shots, and he's done that a lot for us lately. It's been really, really big for us because I think it pulls his defender a little bit farther out. Then, you know, with Logan Applegate, his ability to shoot the ball from distance like that, I mean, it really stresses a defense when they have to get out and take that away because he's so quick off the dribble. Then we're able to set pick and rolls on the outside that create a lot of space for us, and we're just really, really hard to guard when those things are clicking.
I always like taking a look at the numbers, just kind of see how they correlate a little bit. And when you take a look at the shooting percentages, pretty fascinating numbers here. Nevada made 73% of your two-point shots. Webb City, only 47%. Only 18 to 30, 38 inside the arc. That's a very low number. Three-point-wise, you made 45%, 9 to 20. They make 31%, 4 to 13. Free throw line, 79%, 15 to 19. Webb City shoots only 57% from the free throw line. We talked on pregame. This is a team in Webb City that scores a lot of points. They score 70 points a game, but it's because they shoot at such a high volume. They don't particularly shoot the ball well. And that kind of transpired on Saturday.
Mike, you look at our group that has shot the ball really well this year. If we were to take the first just average look that comes along and just let it fly that quick, that often, you would see this group shooting percentage be lower as well. I think Webb City has guys who are really, really good shooters, and I just think that they do have the athleticism and the speed to play fast. I think at times you almost let your opponent off the hook when you settle for an average look early. When you have athletes that are hard to guard, make the defense guard you, and our guys have done a great job to this point understanding that and getting really, really good looks. And when you combine great shot selection with skill, then you get really high shooting percentages. And you're right, we looked at some things statistically with Webb City and just on film, and when they shoot the ball off the dribble, not nearly as effective as when they shoot catch and shoot shots, especially from the perimeter. So that was kind of our goal, mid-range twos off the dribble. And Dalton Gaiman was a big factor in that because in last year's championship game, he drew 5 charges when they were attacking the basket. They knew that, and so whenever they would penetrate, they were more apt to pull up and shoot shots off the dribble, shooting shots kind of moving laterally side to side as opposed to being on balance. So really good job by our guys of executing the game plan and trying to get Webb City to take the shots that we wanted them to take.
Terrell Kabala at 12, fantastic athlete. In fact, he'll be a teammate of Dalton's next year at Arkansas Fort Smith. Nekai Howard at 16, they're known commodities. Cole Vaden, though, comes off the bench for Webb City. He tried to get it back in the game, shooting a three-point shot in the third quarter. 15 points off the bench. You're obviously a lot more familiar with their personnel than I am. But coming off the bench, sometimes you think they're an unknown quantity. Did he surprise you?
Not at all. He's a heck of a ball player. And you know, he's played up as a youngster and like on summer teams and on traveling basketball teams a lot. So these guys were very familiar with him. You know, I think Webb City worries about their lack of size a little bit, you know, with a 4-guard lineup. I think if you watch them on film enough, you start to realize that in crunch time and in late game situations, he plays a lot of minutes, and he's probably in the top 3 or 4 on their team in minutes played. So really, really a good player, can shoot it from deep, can attack it. And I thought overall he was actually their best player against us on Saturday.
It seems like anytime you can beat Webb City in anything, I don't care if it's Jacks or whatever, you take pride in it because of all the success they have in athletics down there. And to beat them in back-to-back years in the championship game at Frontenac, I know your program takes a lot of pride in.
We do, and to win a championship of a tournament is always something to be proud of. To win a tournament that has good teams from different from different regions of different areas of the Midwest is something to be proud of as well. And then you're right, whenever it's, you know, I think, and Webb City probably gets this with a lot of schools, but, you know, we being out of a conference for so long, you kind of have to generate some rivalries. And I think there's a little bit of a rivalry there because we play them in the summer, we play them in the fall, we see them almost every year, once if not twice a year. So I do think over the years, with as competitive as these two groups have been with basketball, a little bit of a rivalry has developed. You know, you add to the fact that the fan bases are both pretty passionate, and hearing from some of our fans, I think both groups were passionate during the game. It's always nice to win a game like that, and Saturday was for sure that way.
Yeah, I think, and athletic director Paul Colton down at Frontenac, I think he was a little concerned about what kind of turnout there was going to be, especially with Nevada's games being split with two games in between. And so I thought, I think we'll be all right. And both sides turned out. It was a great atmosphere.
We really appreciate how well our fan base has traveled to that tournament over the years, and how well they travel in general. And then we appreciate the fact that a lot of girls basketball players, their families and their fans came back, you know, after a pretty long wait in between games and were in attendance. And I mean, I can tell you, I've heard the boys talk about it, and I've seen firsthand when we do have a good crowd and a good atmosphere and the kind of support that our fans bring, it makes a difference for our guys, and it was nice on Saturday.
Well, Nevada is certainly not shortchanged on the post-tournament honors as well. Dalton Gaiman, who averaged 26 points a game in the three games played, was the tournament MVP. Logan Applegate also making the all-tournament team, as did Logan McNeely. Certainly all very worthwhile honors worthy honors, I should say, for them that tournament.
They were. You know, Dalton played his tail off and deserved the honors that he got. Logan Applegate, who last year was the MVP, had a great tournament for us as well. And then I think with all the attention that those two guys get, I'll be the first one to tell you that I think Logan McNeely, probably the most underrated player in Southwest Missouri, he does so many things really, really well and is such a huge ingredient in our success. And so are Lane and so are Noah. You know, I thought we could have probably had four guys on the all-tournament team, really, which, you know, sometimes you're not going to get that, especially since they only take five. But glad to see Logan get some recognition. And I don't think our guys care too much about that. They care about winning. They care about us being the best team we can be. But it was nice to see. And yes, all three of those guys deserved it.
Speaking of things I know you don't care about, you got win 99 on Friday in your career at Nevada High School, and a chance to get to triple digits this weekend, or Friday night, so, or tomorrow night, I should say. So I know you don't care about that, but it's still, if you can get it done over the next couple of days, whenever it is, still in your fifth year, still a nice number.
You're right, Mike. That is not something that I care a lick about, but the only thing I will say is we have had tremendous basketball players here in the last 5 years, and young men that have worked their tails off, and that's the only reason that we would be able to get that many wins over a 5-year period. So really proud of the young men that we've had over the years.
Well, we'll see when 100 comes tomorrow night at Carthage against the Carthage Tigers. A lot of you may remember that Nevada saw Carthage, obviously, in the Carthage tournament. Nevada winning it 48-22, and a low-scoring game, to say the least, especially on the Carthage side. It was just an unbelievable defensive effort against Carthage on that night. Now, some things have changed a little bit for Carthage, obviously, since that time. Let's talk about that. They were missing one or two key players and coming off their football season. So what differences do you expect out of Carthage now when you see them tomorrow night at their place?
Watched a lot of film on them from recent games. They played in the Lebanon High School, had a tournament that they played in last week, and they've kind of hit a little bit of a rhythm. I think they've found their identity a little bit more. It all starts with Alex Martini and Terrace Jackson, who are two very nice players for them. Down there at the Four State challenge in Webb City, you know, on the night that that we played Willard, they played Pittsburgh, and they were, I mean, they got a big win over Pittsburgh. The Jackson kid hit 8 threes, which I think was their program record I saw. And ever since then, they've kind of been rolling. They've played a tough schedule. They've played Country Day out of the St. Louis area. I've got a good win over a DeBorg team out of the St. Louis area. So I think it starts with those two guys. We can't let the Jackson kid be a set three-point shooter. We have to make him put the ball on the floor. And then the Martini kid, we can't allow him to have easy stuff around the basket. In a day and age where you don't see a lot of good post players at 6'7", with the skill that he has, if we allow him to touch it around the basket, he can really hurt us in there. And then he also steps out and shoots it from the perimeter. So we've got to limit those two, make those two play the game in a way that they don't like to play it. Carthage also has the Carlton kid, who's the All-State quarterback for them on the football field. He hurt us for a little bit from the three-point line in the last game, hit an early three, physical, can attack it, has some experience, started for them a year ago. So I think those are the three main pieces. And then the Frisinger kid, the Pugh kid, can shoot the ball from the perimeter. They're a little bit undersized. Mueller, I think, plays quite a bit for them as well. So those will be the guys that we have to key on. We cannot get caught in the pitfall of, we held them to 20-some points last time. We won handily. We won easily. I think at the end of the first quarter, it was a 1 or 2 point game.
10-9.
Right, and then we got better as the game went along, and we're able to really, really defend really, really well. We have to play the same way we played last time, because on their home floor, without some of the rust from football, they're in much more of a rhythm now. I think all signs point to them being a much tougher out than they were early in the year. So it'll be interesting to see our mentality and our mindset, but I have no doubt that our guys are going to come down there ready to play.
They are 8-8 on the season, only 3-4 at home, which is a little bit surprising. Again, they do play in a very tough CLC conference. I was going back and seeing some of the numbers. I don't know why I should be surprised at this, but Nevada has 6 consecutive wins over Carthage. It's a little bit surprised about that, because we play twice a year. So I guess so. That's over 3 years. So, if we see them in the tournament, we do anyway. So, and of course, we've had some good basketball teams over that time. But with the availability of athletes in a school that size, you know, you'd think that the series might be a little bit more competitive, although you are 8-11. Over the last 19, but again, that goes all the way back to 2009. So it's been a series that Nevada's dominated here as of lately, I guess is what I'm getting at.
They always have tough teams, Mike, and they've like you said, with the pool of athletes that they have, it seems like there's always a couple kids who are pretty tough. But one thing I think our guys have done a good job of in the last 2 or 3 years, and you're right, it seems like we do – just as the chips fall, we've seen them a lot in the Carthage tournament, which has led to a lot of years where we've played them twice. But our guys have done a really good job of taking away the top couple guys for Carthage every single year. And hopefully we do that again on Friday and can limit the Jackson and the Martini kid.
It is homecoming tomorrow night at Carthage, so they'll have a lot of festivities going on. We know when the last homecoming we played, so it didn't go very well. But a little bit different situation here, where you don't have the closed environment like we did in Granby, obviously. But still, anytime you play somebody's homecoming, obviously creates a little bit of an extra incentive for the other side.
Right. I think we'll talk about the fact that the last time we had a true road game Friday night, kind of what we fell into and what we kind of allowed to happen on our end, and just to make sure that we don't let our guard down, so to speak, and let anything like that happen again. Because, you know, I don't know what it is about high school sports, but I do think homecomings and a little bit more of an electric atmosphere, that does give you a little bit of a shot in the arm, and we have to expect the very, very best shot and the best version of basketball that Carthage has to offer, and we have to match that intensity, and we have to play well enough to make sure that doesn't end up getting us.
All right, so a lot of time on the road for Nevada, but they do return home next Tuesday night. Boys game only, when they take on the Monette Cubs in a Big 8 West battle. Seems like Eon since you played at home, but you'll get that chance next Tuesday night. I guess the Monette team's been struggling. Lost to East Newton earlier this week. Talk about the Cubs and what you expect out of them next Tuesday.
Monette returns 3 starters. You know, last year, Mike, we went to Monette and they gave us a pretty good battle for a long, long time. And it starts with forward, last name Prince, who's super, super athletic, and he had close to 20 points against us a year ago. An athlete that if you allow him to put his head down and drive with his right hand to the basket, he's going to be able to finish because of his jumping ability. Hurt us on the glass last year, so we have to take him away. We have to box him out. We have to force him to go left, and we can't allow him to have easy touches around the basket. And then they return another guard, last name George. They've had a lot of athletes, last name George, down there over the years.
Yeah, Case is pretty good.
Yeah, and I would assume this is a brother. I don't know that for a fact, but he's about 6'2", can jump a little bit, good athlete. So, you know, we have to limit those returners that have some experience and then that have the ability to score the ball. I do think they're pretty inexperienced around those guys. I think they're still trying to develop some pieces that can score the ball. So, just again, like we talk about each and every night, take away the other team's strengths. Don't allow them to play to those strengths. Didn't necessarily do that a year ago at Monette. Hope to do a better job of that next Tuesday.
Well, after several days off the court, I'm sure your team, even though they probably won't admit it, they're probably ready to decompress a little bit after such a busy, busy time at the end of last week. But I'm sure they're anxious to get back on the court tomorrow.
I think they are. We took Monday off, had good practice the last 2 days, did some split squad stuff, so that, kind of best on best, so to speak, going against each other, which has been competitive and gotten a little bit heated in practice, which I think is good for our guys. We've been over to El Dorado a couple times to watch our junior varsity.
Yeah, we should mention that. They're playing for a championship tonight.
They are, and we would encourage anyone that's a fan of our program. It's a good look. We've got our sophomores and a couple of our freshmen over there playing for the championship. It's a good look at some future pieces that will be big components of next year's varsity team. So, but yeah, we've been over there to watch them a couple times. Tonight will be their third game of that tournament. So yeah, I think myself and our varsity guys are ready to get back at it.
Yeah, that game's at 7:30, and I'm glad you mentioned that because they are playing for the championship at El Dorado Springs tonight. Actually, I haven't at the time we're recording, I haven't seen who they're playing, Skyline or Warrensburg. Do you know?
To be honest, Mike, I haven't heard. Coach Talley stayed to watch half of that game for scouting. I haven't actually seen who they get, but both of those, whichever team they draw, those are two very good programs, and watching just a little bit of that game, it should be a good battle for them tonight.
All right, look forward to seeing Carthage tomorrow night and back home Tuesday against Monette. Thank you very much for the time. Again, congratulations on the Frontenac Championship, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Tiger Head Coach Sean Gray will come back, and wrestling is on the agenda. Head Coach David Hawks and Tony Abatey have their conversation out of this timeout on Tiger Talk.